Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, May 5th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. They say breaking up is hard to do. Turns out that goes for credit cards, too. A lot of people are still holding onto their first credit card they ever got. Sure, it might have some sentimental value, but is it giving you the best benefits?
Some cards aren't as competitive. They might not be offering you as much, which is making people kind of rethink, you know, what is this doing in my wallet?
But is getting rid of that old credit card the smart option? Coming up, our personal finance reporter Amber Burton shares how you can hold on to an older credit card and still reap rewards. That's after the break.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. Immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
We've talked on the show before about how a lot of people were using their stimulus payments to pay down credit card debt, and a lot of other people are still holding onto old cards they barely use. So after paying off an old card, what's next? Should you keep it, cancel it, or something else? Our personal finance reporter Amber Burton is here to talk through the options. Amber, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Amber, you're on our personal finance team, but I want you to put on your unofficial psychologist hat for just a moment. You've heard from people both before and after your story on this subject ran who are still holding on to their very first credit card, even years later. Why do they seem to get so attached to their first card?
Absolutely. Always happy when I can try to put on a psychologist hat. Well, it's emotional. As you know, I think a lot of people can remember, you know, applying for their first credit card and even that first purchase they made with that first credit card. I spoke to different people, but I also always am paying attention to the conversation on Twitter. And it was so fun to see people just remembering the first big purchase they made, whether it was good or bad. They can remember it, and it sticks with them, whether they keep it or not.
And just to clarify, these are folks that have gotten other cards over the years, too. It's not just the only one, right?
No, not at all. Far from the only credit card they have. Experian, you know, the credit reporting agency, they found in their data that millennials, which are, you know, between the ages of 24 and 39, they have about 3 credit cards on average. And that's not even as much as baby boomers. Baby boomers have about 4 to 5 cards on average. So, you know, they're kind of collecting cards as they go, finding different credit card offers that fit different needs, and they're holding on to them.
And those newer cards often come with lower fees or better benefits and rewards.
It's become a very competitive business. And so different cards are going to have different offers. Some have no fees at all. Some have, you know, rewards that might enable you to go, you know, take a flight somewhere at a very low cost. You're getting those different benefits. So some cards aren't as competitive. They might not be offering you as much, which is making people kind of rethink, you know, what is this doing in my wallet?
Okay, so people have a lot of options for what they could do here. What happens if they just leave that old credit card in their wallet and do nothing with it?
So if you leave your credit card in your wallet as sort of a relic of the past, a souvenir perhaps of your college years, you are at risk of the card going dormant. That means, you know, if you don't use that card for a certain period of time, for some companies it's 3 months, for some companies it's maybe a year, you should check with your credit card to see what amount of time is considered dormant. But, you know, with that time comes the ability for the company to swoop in and say, hey, you're not using your card. This is a liability. And they'll cancel the card themselves, therefore, you know, kind of taking that decision out of your own hands. So you want to be using that card in some way or form, just so you're not at risk of it being canceled.
Can you give me an example of what that would involve?
You know, it can just be one thing that you do once a month to keep that card active. For example, maybe you just use the card for paying for your dry cleaning. Or now that the world's opening up again, maybe you pick up the bar tab for friends once a month. Just something to kind of keep the card active. You can turn right around, pay it off immediately. And, you know, it doesn't go, you know, on your credit report necessarily because you're paying it off before the billing cycle. So you get that good positive information. It's still a plus at the end of the day.
Now, what about just canceling the card? Why wouldn't that be the best idea?
a good question there, because, you know, the knee-jerk reaction might be to just go ahead and cancel that card. But a lot of people in the industry are saying, you know, hold up, there is a way to break up with that card without actually canceling it. And that breakup just entails, you know, calling your credit card provider and just finding a better match. They like to keep you within the family. They're willing to work with you. And there are ways to kind of find a card that has a better fee or no fee, or find a card that has rewards that more so reflect your spending patterns. So that's something that people are really encouraged to look into, rather than jumping to getting rid of that card. Because, you know, when you decide to get rid of a card, with that card goes that credit limit associated with that card. And because of that, your utilization changes. So utilization is the percentage of credit that you are using, and you want it to be as low as possible. So just think about it. If you're getting rid of some of your credit limit, your overall credit limit goes down and your utilization goes up. We don't want that, of course, because that affects your credit score overall.
Okay, so when they get a customer service rep on the phone, what should people say? How should they expect that conversation to go?
When a person calls the credit company, they really should be wording it as a product change. They're not getting rid of the card. They want to keep that same, you know, account number. Often that's possible. You can keep the account number and your own information, but you want to word it as a product change because you're going to be able to keep the good stuff, but just tweak the product. So you're going to get that new offer, the new fee, a new rewards program. It is worth noting, though, you're not going to get those same offers that you might get if you're, you know, getting with a new credit card company altogether, but you are going to get some new terms, which is a reward in itself. So when you do call the credit card company and do that product change, you should be aware of the timing that you're doing this. You want to be a little bit strategic about it, industry professionals say. If you're doing it around the time that you're applying for a loan or a mortgage, you know, those loan companies, they don't want to see a lot of, you know, change or shakeups within your credit. You might want to wait until after you're approved and then go for that product change or canceling a card or anything of that sort.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Amber Burton. Amber, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.